Did you know we have completely ad-free early access to all of our episodes? Well, we do. Not only that, but we have dozens of bonus episodes waiting for you. Head on over to patreon.com/ghosttownpod, and you can check it out for 7 days absolutely free. That's patreon.com/ghosttownpod.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
A Colorado man pushed too far. I'm Rebecca Lieb.
I'm Jason Horton.
And this is Ghost Town.
The sheriff in Granby says that Marvin Heemeyer was behind the wheel during a 90-minute rampage in that fortified bulldozer.
It started just after 3 o'clock on yesterday afternoon in the town of Granby. That's about 50 miles northwest of Denver. This is video from Sky 9. It shows where the armored bulldozer ended up stuck inside a warehouse-type building. In all, between 10 and 15 buildings were damaged or destroyed, including the town hall, the library, and the newspaper building.
On June 4th, 2004... Marvin Heemeyer had just about enough.
Okay, I'm good. I'm serious. Keep going.
He drove his armored bulldozer through the streets of Granby, Colorado for 2 hours and 7 minutes. Heemeyer and his killdozer tore through town, sending a destructive message through the walls of his former business, the concrete plant, the town hall, and the office of the local newspaper, and the home of the former mayor, and a hardware store owned by another man Heemeyer named in a lawsuit, as well as a few others.
Hell yeah.
You want more?
One mark for the little guy. Yeah, I want more.
Damaged 13 buildings in all, knocking out natural gas service to City Hall and the concrete plant, damaging a truck, destroying part of a utility service center. Despite a lot of damage, no one was killed beside Marvin Heemeyer.
I was going to be like, but did he break any hearts? No, his own. I mean, he died. He was...
Right, yes. Well, okay, so you got to think, when we kind of get into this, as I was, my brother, mm-hmm. who, when it's absolute chaos, and mm-hmm. it's not necessarily always crime that is, you know, like a murder or you know, like a stalking or mm-hmm. being somebody being terrorized, when it's just absolute total chaos, is the kind of things my brother lets me know about.
He's such a cool brother.
Yeah, he loves this kind of stuff.
It's so funny too. Like, I think when people lose it, like my teenage bully comes out a little, I'm like, fuck you. Like, it's yeah. like, fuck you.
Like, well, he asked me, he's like, you know about the killdozer? And I was like, like you were
you
when
stopped
I
stopped everything.
Yes.
You were about to, you were at a wedding and you left.
Yeah, if it's called the killdozer, which is based on, there's a 70s, you know, kind of like horror mm-hmm. movie, you know what I mean? Like
yeah.
cars are killing, yeah. which is, you know, like Christine right. is a car, you know, killing right. cars. Or,
yeah.
You know, he didn't name it the killdozer, mm-mm. but it was named the killdozer because that's, you know, media and press, they, you mm-hmm. know, you got to call it something. And if it was just, you know, if it was called like, you know, scary bulldozer, I'd be like, okay, killdozer.
Yeah. If they
perfect.
Were like, if they're like truck that might harm something in no. its vicinity.
No,
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 no. But the killdozer has a wonderful ring to it. It sounds cool. It sounds destructive. It sounds hilarious. It sounds like it's like a, in one draft of Disney's Cars, they were like, should we do something like that? And they were like, no, too soon, too soon.
No, but we're going to do it right now.
Yeah, well, we're Disney.
Yeah, so. We're Disney. Yeah, we're pretty much Disney right
yeah,
now.
Yeah,
for right now,
in.
Disney's not doing anything right this second,
no,
so
no,
we're
no.
doing it right now.
Yeah.
So Marvin Heemeyer, he owned a small welding shop in town, and he repaired mufflers. He purchased the land that his shop was on, and over the years, he had agreed to sell the land to a concrete company to build a plant The negotiations were tough. He had been trouble agreeing on a suitable price. And in 2001, the city approved the construction of the concrete plant, zoning the land next to Heemeyer's for the use. Heemeyer was furious because he used the land for the past 9 years as a shortcut between his home and the muffler shop. He petitioned the city to have the property rezoned to prevent the construction of the plant, but was rejected on multiple occasions. So he's already felt slighted. People were out to get him, or he felt slighted, or he felt wrong. And I think probably in a lot of ways, and I think that's why he maybe resonated with a lot of people, he kind of had, you know, the movie like Falling Down, that kind of like falling down moment where, you know, the things that you want to do when you're at work or you're out and you know you can't do when you're like, I've
it's
been
like
wrong.
It's like Joker.
A little bit. Yeah. It's, it's a little bit like that. It's like you feel like you've been wronged and there's sometimes you have no recourse. You're like, well, I have to function in society.
You're stuck in this machine. And that's why it's like stuff like this where people snap. There's always such this long backstory that happens with them that we don't really get to see. But something like this, you're like, you know, this is like little by little, year after year, just grating, eroding this man's psyche until the killdozer.
Yeah, he's definitely somebody who has had problems with people, especially with business, if he's felt wronged. Mm-hmm. You know, it all culminated to this. And when you
killdoze day,
when you build something like that and you get in there, like you're getting into a Sherman tank, you don't have any intention of leaving. Mm-mm. Like you're not going to be like, well, no. I've made my point and now
let me go. I need to go stop by the pharmacy, pick up some prescriptions, get the dry cleaning.
So early 2003, Marvin Heemeyer decided he had enough. A few years earlier, he purchased a bulldozer with the intent to use it to create an alternate route to his muffler shop. Now, however, it would serve a new purpose as his weapon of mass destruction. Say it with me.
The killdozer. Oh, I love it. I really, then it's just so catchy and it's so like muckraking and it's so like funny too in its own deranged way.
There's video because this is 2004. So there's a lot of video. It's like if you you watch a car chase.
Like grainy flip phone video?
No, it's pretty good. It's like helicopter.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
You ever watch like a car chase?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, sometimes the car, imagine a bulldozer just tearing through a town.
God, I love it.
And you're looking at it and you're like, I feel like
I'm
watching.
How fast can a bulldozer go?
Not that fast. But you can't stop it.
No, it's a bulldozer.
Other people, like.
Maybe with a bigger bulldozer.
He was just bulldozing, I think, other bulldozers out of the way. Like, it's like a video game. It's really, I mean, to watch it, it's
I laugh because it is so funny, but it's also.
It's very sad.
It's terrifying, but like also like. Killdozer.
He began outfitting his bulldozer with armored plates, covering the cabin engine, part of the tracks. He created the armor himself.
Damn.
So he's like, I'm going to make... He's like when Iron Man
he's
made
like
his first Iron Man suit, and he was like, I'll make my own.
Racketeer.
He used a concrete mix poured between sheets of steel.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes creating plates over a foot thick. It was resistant to small arms fire.
Yeah,
good luck shooting it.
Yeah.
Resistant to explosives. And indeed, the rounds fired at it had no effect. I think they put a pipe bomb in the exhaust.
What?
Nothing. Most of the cabin, there was a video camera mounted on the exterior. So see what's going on.
Yeah, you got to see what's going on.
Covered by a 3-inch bulletproof plastic. Inside the makeshift cockpit were two monitors where he can observe his destruction.
I mean, this is an entertainment center inside of a death machine.
It's really diabolical.
Wow.
I don't use that word. Often enough.
You don't throw that word around.
No.
I will vouch for you when you say that. But this is.
There are also fans and an air conditioner to keep him cool while while he.
How many cup holders?
There was only one. That's all he needed.
The killdozer?
Yeah.
Wow, that's the darkest thing I've heard. All podcast.
That's enough, right? Is that enough for the killdozer?
I see that face. Jason's making that face where it's actually not enough. He's got more. He's got more in his pocket.
Let's put the killdozer in park and take a little break. As you all know, every week we scour the internet for interesting, mysterious, and offbeat places to profile. But even we need a break from Googling. That's where mobile puzzle game Best Fiends comes in.
A lot of what we do is putting the pieces of a story or history together. I love a challenge puzzle game, especially one that has like a big spatial reasoning component to it. Really my jam. It helps me kind of like reboot, relax, and get ready for the next podcast.
Best Fiends is made for adults, and you could spend 30 seconds or 2 hours, or when I'm supposed to be editing the podcast, I'm playing Best Fiends.
I got addicted to this game when I was traveling to Wisconsin, Chicago, and Portland. I was all over the place in November and December. especially like waiting for flights or between awkward family exchanges. It's always engaging and every level is completely different. I got my brother back in Milwaukee to play and we play against each other, although I am much better than he is. Thank you very much. Also, admittedly, the characters, the slugs and the bugs are very cute, which is obviously something that I often fall prey to. You kind of get invested in certain ones, collecting diamonds. The game really evolves. I play when I have a minute or two, if I'm just like dipping my toe into the Best Fiends pool. And even if you're already a fan of Best Fiends, the game updates monthly with new levels and events.
Engage your brain with fun puzzles and collect tons of cute characters. Trust me, with over 100 million downloads, this 5-star rated mobile puzzle game is a must play. Download Best Fiends free on the Apple App Store or Google Play. That's friends without the R, Best Fiends. And we are back.
We're back. Let's kill those again.
Again? It's very, very fancy.
You're welcome.
Also, there are non-Killdozer-related episodes on patreon.com/ghosttownpod.
That's right.
Bonus episodes. There's plenty
fun
of them.
Perks,
there's fun perks.
Pins, swag, good vibes.
It'll help
good
us
times.
With some of the costs. We want to do some festivals. We want to do some traveling with Ghost Town. And all these little things that will cost help us out. And if you want to rate and review wherever you listen to podcasts, very, very helpful.
Absolutely.
You might not think it is, but it's great. And we love to hear from you. And you can message us on Instagram at ghosttownpod.
Absolutely. You can email us at ghosttownpod@gmail.com, especially if there's – this is kind of a different – this is a pivot on what we usually do, I would say, in general.
Yeah, like, yes.
This is a little bit of a different vibe going, a little bit telling a different story. So stuff like this is also really interesting to us, really fascinated by it.
You ready to kill those again?
Yeah, baby.
He was like, oh, you know what this thing needs? 3 gun ports, a 50 caliber rifle. And I was there when my former roommate shot a 50 cal. It is a very intense. It's not meant to like, ow. It's meant to like go through buildings.
Blast.
And
is it one of those things where the bullet explodes inside of the person?
It would not. It would go right through. It's too
just
powerful.
Tearing it through. Yeah.
It's like if you want to fire at like another tank.
Yeah.
Or you want to fire at a building.
Yeah. Humans are just like cotton candy that you're firing through.
A 308 semi-automatic and a 22 long rifle. So when he sealed himself in, there was no way out. It wasn't like, it wasn't like, okay, hey guys, let's talk. He was like, I'm not leaving this thing. So he made it where he was like, I'm not leaving.
Can you imagine that moment, like where you get into the Killdozer, like this is the rest of your life will exist in this tank, and you seal yourself in and you're like, you take a breath and you turn on the ignition to the Killdozer and you're just like, go time.
Well, I think that would be, you know, if he was like, I don't want the option of one being captured, arrested, or if I decide that, you know, oh no, I made a huge mistake. He's like, no, this decision I made, I'm going to be living with this, whether I like it or not.
I know. You think there were any snacks in there though?
Potato chips with Olean in it, like the low fat, like that kind of like low, like the Olean.
Low fat,
yeah.
Like Gardetto's low fat, only 200 calories.
Yeah. Like stuff like that. So it took him about a year and a half to make. On June 4th, 2004, he sealed himself inside the Killdozer's cockpit and set out for the town. Yeah.
He was like, again, you just start that engine. There's no going back.
So he drove the machine out of his shop through the wall.
Who needs the shop anymore?
Yeah.
You're done.
He's like, I'm not coming back to this place.
Yeah. This day, this is probably his last day.
You know, when the Kool-Aid man's like, oh yeah, that's what the Killdozer did.
Yeah.
So he went through the concrete. Anyone who's he had like a hit list.
Oh.
And he kind of, you know, he really did kind of get burned on a lot of the zoning things. There was things that they kind of were trying to punish him for that were really out of his hands. It was like kind of an unfair zoning thing. He was like, hey, it's like where my shop was, where it was, and you changed the zoning thing. So that puts me in the precarious situation where like I can't win. But he can win. I guess, depending on your definition of winning.
Yeah, winning, the concept of winning is very malleable in this story.
Former judge's widow's home.
A former judge's widow.
Yeah.
Oof.
So I think he's probably like,
enough.
He probably was like, I'm going to just do the greatest hits of all the people that.
Yeah, you're like, it's one of those lists where you're like, you don't even know if the people make sense on it, but they're going down, and they're going down today, in the next 2 hours.
So for 2 hours and 7 minutes, that's a really long time to be. And not, it's not like he was going like over the course of like 200 miles.
No.
It's a couple.
It's also like a slow, like, can you imagine? I think bulldozers maybe go 15 miles an hour tops. Oh, this slow death machine just like slowly destroying very slowly this woman's wall, this home, this. And everyone's like, stop this thing.
Right. They couldn't. And the police. Who's prepared for that? Oh, no. can you get the
people that riot team?
But they're used to probably stopping people and cars. They're not used to stopping things that are, because even tanks can't shovel things out of the way.
Yeah.
You can run them over. So his killdozer would just shovel things away.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, using the bulldoze part and just like,
you're done.
Yeah, there's just no way. There's no way to stop it. Oh, and 2 hours and 7 minutes is a really long time.
Yeah.
It's like 2/3 of the Irishman.
Do you think people were outside watching from their homes, like on lawns?
I think they've had people, you know, yeah, but if, I'm sure they were, you know what I mean? There's, it was, you know, during the day. It wasn't like the middle of the night.
Yeah.
The governor authorizing the National Guard to attack with Apache helicopters. Whoa. That's like big, you know what I mean? It's like missiles and chain guns and all that, and anti-tank missiles.
Yeah, and I bet you run the risk, too, of if you're open firing on this killdozer, of the bullets ricocheting off and hitting other people, whatever, more destruction.
Yeah, so they're just not prepared for that. It's not like, hey, what do we do in this situation?
A man who snapped and used his bulldozer to wreak havoc on a small town.
Yeah.
Yeah. Be prepared for that, people.
The attacks were even in place, and had he might not wedged himself in the basement of a hardware store on his own, they would have been carried out. So he got stuck in the hardware store, and he like couldn't get out. You know what I mean?
He probably
wasn't like, let me do a trial run. Let me see what I can get in and out of.
No, he's not going to do a beta version of the killdozer. You just do the killdozer.
A destroyed XL Energy truck is stuck into the Mountain Park's electric building as a result of Marvin Hemeyer's rampage with an armored bulldozer. XL Energy. Don't get bulldozed.
Whoa.
Don't get killdozed.
Rule number one.
He attempted to bulldoze Gamble's hardware store, and he got stuck in that hardware store.
Good old small town Gamble's hardware store, just trying to make a buck.
And with the end in sight, Hemeyer killed himself with a .357 in his cockpit, determined to leave the world on his own terms, and he did. So he has a bit of a...
That's the furthest of on your own terms that I've ever heard. Like, he was like,
well, I'm not going to jail. I'm not
hyper on my own terms in this hardware store, wedged in with my own gun inside of my death tank.
I'm sure that was going to be the end result. I mean, what?
Yeah.
I really tried to play this out in my mind. I was like, what are the possible outcomes? There are none. That's the only outcome. It's just a matter of when. Is it 2 hours and 7 minutes? Is it 2 hours and 20 minutes?
Yeah.
Is it the full length of The Irishman? That's almost 4 hours. I don't know.
One bite of his Oreo thin, and he was like, it's time to go, world.
He's like, why didn't I just get the regular ones? Why am I so worried?
So slim. You're used to them. You're used to them. It's like Snagwell's devil's food.
Yeah.
No one likes them, but you're used to it.
There was $7 million in property damage.
Wow.
And if you want to inflate that for, you know, what it's like in 2019, it's, I don't know, it's like $12 million.
Yeah.
Still a lot.
Yeah.
No one was hurt. Some people say that it was his intention not to hurt anybody, but other people say it was a bit of just circumstance, like, you know, buildings not being occupied, people not being at work, you know, I believe school might have been out. So, you know, some people are like, oh, that thing where it's like an anti-hero thing. Mm-hmm. And I guess depending on who you ask, it is an anti-hero thing, but...
I mean, it does kind of represent the slighted working class man, who, again, took things into his own hands and did what he felt like he needed to do. So I get how that can be this anti-hero type. But then it's, again, who are you really hurting? Small businesses, pretty much? Like, independent homes?
And I'm sure that there are people that, you know, and listen, people are shady. People are greedy. Mm-hmm. People do things and they're like, hey, what are you going to do about it? You know, we have the blessing of the mayor. We have the blessing of the town. And I think Hemeyer was somebody that, you know, if you like owed him money, he would like chase you down. Like somebody owed him $124 from a muffler job and he went after the money. Like he was like, you, so is a very, you know, his idea of justice and fairness was very aggressive.
Yeah.
Once he got it in his head.
So interesting. I wonder if there was like, what the one moment was where he was like, I'm going to, like, the seed was planted in his head. He's like, I'm going to do, like, what one piece of paper, what one weird zoning thing, like, what one sign was the thing where he was like,
could have gone back to when he was 6 years old. You know what I mean? When he was like, I want to play on the swings. And somebody's like, no, I'm bigger. I don't want to play on the swings. Yeah.
Eat shit.
So they searched his home, and they found multiple notes and audio tapes that outlined his motivations. Mm-hmm. They also found that several men who had visited his shop where he was building the killdozer had never noticed it, which was very encouraging to he Myers. Like, oh, nobody knows.
God, I'm invisible.
So as far as what happened to the killdozer itself?
Is it now a tourist attraction?
I wish.
Oh, can you imagine sitting in the cockpit of that? Whoa. No.
Also, you're celebrating something that's like pretty is like a no, really
very
negative.
It's like very dark. It's very dark thing. It's also like this interesting. Honestly, it's kind of a marvel of engineering.
It
in
is.
Some ways too.
On Reddit, somebody said he's like, you know, he's a great welder. Mm-hmm. What if he was that good at chemistry? What would his method be? Yeah, because he was so good at this, and this was the outcome. What if he was good at something that was potentially more? Quicker and more destructive instead of slower and
like poisonous gases or something.
Like you're talking about like the Joker or like classic villains in superhero movies.
Yeah,
it's things like that. The killdozer itself was taken apart and sold for scrap. They sent the pieces to dozens of scrap yards to stop people like you trying to show up
like
there.
Not at all sick at all, but normal adjusted people like me who just wants to sit in the cockpit of the killdozer.
People were like, I want to build a killdozer. Mm-hmm. I want to know how to build. I want to see how to build the killdozer. So it's not really beneficial to have it. But there's great pictures, great video. So I'm going to quote KMGH TV, quoting Marvin Heemeyer. God built me for this job, Heemeyer said in his first recording. He also said it was God's plan that he not be married or have a family so that he could be in a position to carry out such an attack.
Wow.
I think God will bless me to get the machine done, to drive it, to do the stuff I have to do. God bless me in advance for the task that I'm about to undertake. It is my duty. God has asked me to do this. It is the cross that I'm going to carry, and I'm carrying it in God's name.
Wow. Religion's a good thing. It's a healthy, good thing. Untreated mental illness. Whoa, God was like instructed me to knock down part of a widow's house and roam the streets shooting to get stuck in a hardware store. I mean, God should have like a cooler calling for this man.
Are you done with your soapbox? Are you done with your soapbox?
Are you there, God? It's me, Rebecca.
On Reddit, X the Big E writes, the city fined him $2,500 because his property wasn't attached to the sewer grid after another company destroyed the sewers to build their business. So that's not, it's things like that.
That'll
so because there's people that are more familiar with this or they're from from Granby. So Icarus Sky says,
cool name.
It wasn't about the fine itself. It was the fact that he was fined for something that was neither his fault nor his legal responsibility. Then when they tried to rectify the situation through normal legal means, they threw it in his face and basically told him to kick rocks. They had the power and he didn't. Mm-hmm. There is a documentary that debuted, I believe, in March of this year at South by Southwest called Tread.
It's not called The Killdozer?
No. I think that's a little too on the...
Sexy, I know. Horrible.
But Tread also sounds like a horror movie, too. Like
Tread, I know. Tread sounds like it's like an action, like starring The Rock.
I want to thank All That's Interesting, Cracked, Vice, and Reddit. Do you want to start talking about, you want to get back in your soapbox
and
now?
And we're back. God. God and his followers.
This is the Killer Babes podcast.
I'm Kirby.
And I'm Katie. We are the Killer Babes.
Tell them what we do, Kirby.
We go to places in New England because we are a New England podcast, and we find out what's paranormal, what's spooky,
what's not paranormal.
And we also do true crime.
Yes. Anything that we think is interesting in the New England area. And like Kirby said, we go when we can. We report back what we find. It's a great time, if I do say so myself.
We usually stop for some brews.
Oh,
along with the booze.
Very usually. Check us out. We have season one, and we are in two episodes of season two. So we have a lot of great stuff for you guys to go listen to.
Yes, and check us out on Instagram and Facebook, Killer Babes Podcast, Twitter, Killer Babes Pod, or email us at killerbabespodcast@gmail.com.